Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. All right, LA, thank you very much for tuning in. We'll go until 9 o'clock tonight. Looking forward to tonight's show. Let me set up just a couple of the interviews that we have coming up. And then we're going to talk, and we're definitely going to spend some time on what's going on with the NBA. And like you hear, the Lakers get a chance to compete for that 17th NBA championship. Jeff Silgett, NBA reporter for USA Today Sports, will join the show at 7 o'clock. And then Tyler Kepner, national baseball writer for the New York Times, we'll connect with him in the 8 o'clock hour. And that obviously continues to be the one sport and the one league that I can't, you know, personally understand how they cannot come to some type of an agreement, but they are finding a way not to do so. We'll see what happens. Tyler Kepner coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I want to start off the show with this. You know, if you spent some time, and I think everybody has, everybody spent so much time on social media over the last, let's say, 1 week or so. And there's been a lot of tough conversations. There's been a lot of tough videos. There's most definitely been those that have gone out of their way to use their power, use their popularity to raise as much awareness as possible. So real quick, before I get into the NBA, LeBron James is special. We all know that he's a special player on the court, a true leader on the basketball court. Every time I make comparisons to LeBron James, I usually talk about Magic. I don't make those comparisons about you know, with him and Michael Jordan, just his style of basketball. When he's on the basketball floor, everybody follows LeBron James. Use the Lakers as an example this year. As great and as young and as athletic as Anthony Davis is, we know when LeBron James is on the court, it's a different team. As great and as young as Giannis Antetokounmpo is, we know that arguably the best player in the world right now is still LeBron James at age 35. But I don't want to talk about how special of a player LeBron James is on the basketball floor. What he's doing off the court is so much more important right now. And someone in his position, first of all, they don't have to speak out. And there are a lot of athletes. I'm not going to say they're as popular as LeBron James. LeBron James is that's the cream of the crop. There's only a couple players that, you know, or athletes that you can look at and put them in that category. But there are a lot of big time names over the years that have not used their platform in as important of a way that I feel like LeBron James is doing. And I don't even have to talk. We all know about his I Promise initiative that he's doing, serving 1,100 Akron Public School students. We know what he's doing in his hometown. But I just want to stay on his platform for a quick second. His platform, it's as big as any person in the world right now, but he's using it the right way. I think there's this, it feels like LeBron James has this responsibility. He's challenging individuals. He's raising awareness. He's making change with his platform. I did this a couple days ago, how I felt like, you know, athletes can have such an impact towards that younger generation. And there's, I mean, I've never seen it like this before. You correct me if I'm wrong, if there's another time where you see athletes this active right now on Instagram, this active on Twitter, retweeting things where they feel like it's wrong, retweeting things that they feel like it's right. You know, all those things, to me, it makes me feel proud about sports because of course, I'm a sports fan. Of course, I grew up around sports in the sense that I'm watching basketball every day. I'm rooting for my team, like a lot of listeners here, like a lot of people, not just in LA, not just across the country, but around the world. But when you see some of these athletes, and I want to continue to just emphasize, go, if you don't follow LeBron James on Twitter, go follow him on Twitter. Or how about if you just haven't went and visited his page in a while, just go see how many of that messaging, how many, and it's not just about the likes, it's not just about the views, it's not just about the comments, it's not just about the retweets, but the message he's trying to get across. Not only is it the right message, but people are listening, people are watching, people are looking, people are reading. That's what I'm referring to. He's setting himself up to be as big off the court than on the court. Look, I'll get into LeBron is going to be the difference in getting championship number 17. But LeBron James is special, and I'm not talking about what he's doing on the basketball court. It's bigger than basketball. And we should all appreciate and respect his message and what he's trying to do. I remember I talked about this a few days ago, and the reason why I want to start off the show with this is because I appreciate it. I respect it. Somebody who's who he is, I love to see him this active socially. So a few days ago, I think it was on Sunday that I mentioned, or on Monday I mentioned Sunday, there was a tweet that came out, find the tweet real quick, from the Colorado Times reporter. And it was a beautiful tweet. It said, thousands of protesters lying face down with their hands behind their backs chanting, I can't breathe. They're doing this for 9 minutes. And Colorado Times reporter. I've never heard of the Colorado Times reporter. Why do I know that this video exists? And if you go look at the video, almost 14 million views. And you see all these people, you know, together. They're face down, like I mentioned, face down on the floor, hands behind their back. They're chanting, I can't breathe. Who retweeted that? LeBron James. And LeBron said, media showing this with question marks. I bet you they're not. You know why? Because this is unity, peaceful, beautiful, and love. There was another tweet. Arjun Sethi. Thousands peacefully kneeling in D.C. remembering George Floyd chanting, stop killing black people. Why isn't this video viral? This is what Arjun was putting on there. Who retweets that? LeBron James does. Is the media showing this? I bet you they aren't. This is beautiful. 325,000 likes. All the likes, the only thing I care about it when I mention it is just that people are seeing it, right? So when I highlight LeBron James and I highlight he feels like he has this responsibility to do more than just on the basketball floor. Man, that's many players, many athletes, many people at work. It's not uncommon to just go get your job done, keep the noise quiet, grab your paycheck, and call it a day. That's very common. But LeBron James, and I don't have to get into, you know, what yesterday was, and I know a lot of criticism that obviously Drew Brees got. Drew Brees, I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of our country. Who retweeted that? LeBron James. And he had a long comment about it. And he was trying to emphasize, you literally still don't understand why Cap was kneeling on one knee. Listen, I point this out because as much as I talk sports on here, as much as I sit here and I certainly spend an incredible amount of time talking Los Angeles Lakers basketball, I appreciate moments like this. I appreciate when I can highlight a player and an athlete as big as LeBron James who has something more important in his mind. Listen, if the Lakers win their 17th NBA championship this year and LeBron James is a part of it, and LeBron James wins three NBA championships with three different teams and three final MVPs, the first player to ever do that with three separate teams. Special moment for his career personally. A special moment for the Los Angeles Lakers and Lakers Nation, all these Laker fans that are out there. Incredibly special moment. But I'll pause myself to say, yeah, that would be amazing. But you know what would be more amazing is LeBron James, his activity on social and Instagram and him taking a stand and doing everything he can to raise awareness and to call out people that need to be called out, all of that is so much more important than sports. I love sports. I, you know, want to see nothing more than to see the Los Angeles Lakers succeed. I want to see nothing more than to see LeBron get another championship as well. But his personal career, what's happening on the court, will never be as strong as some of the things that he's doing off the court. That's why I almost look forward to it. When LeBron James, when it's all said and done, hopefully he's got a couple championships for the Los Angeles Lakers when he is all said and done. I'm very curious to see what he does after basketball. But you have to appreciate and respect what he's doing. Okay. So with that being said, and we talk about LeBron James, we finally have an NBA format, And we definitely have a plan that we were waiting for today. You know, yesterday I kind of started hitting on it. I said, okay, well, it's not, you know, all the details aren't ironed out just yet. When we come back, I'll ask Laker fans out there, what do you think of this playoff format that the NBA has come up with? Is it too complicated or do you like it? What do you think of the format? 877-710-ESPN. I'll give you my thoughts as well when we come back. Appreciate you guys tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. I think I would probably collapse if I tried to play pickup basketball right now. If I had to go 5-on-5 and just run up and down, what's it been now? 3 months we've been in quarantine? About 3 months or so, right? I 100% would have zero ability to play. Yesterday we were talking about playing full court or anything along those lines. I don't even know how I'd do it. Jess, are you outside going for jogs or anything? I'm definitely not jogging. I'm definitely not doing any of that stuff right now.
No, I don't like running to begin with, and running with the mask, the basic mask.
I breathe hard to go get the mail. By the time I just go up 6 steps, yeah. I get the mail, I need a second to catch my breath.
Yeah, the most I'll do is just take a walk. But yeah, other than that, no, I don't get much cardio work.
I got the walks part down, so I definitely got the walks part. Okay, so NBA, we now know the format. You know, I was reading some articles earlier today, and this is just kind of comical to me because sometimes you just can't win. If you're the NBA, here you are. You have found a way to structurally put back your season. You have found a way to give these teams an opportunity, to not only make up a lot of money that's been lost over the last, few months, but you also get a chance for fans. You get a chance to crown an NBA champion. You are about 80% through your season, and here you are. Now we actually got a format. We know 22 teams are coming in. We know what the structure is going to be. We know what 22 teams are coming in. We know how the East and West is going to be structured. We know that there's 5 teams coming from the Western Conference, and the style and the format to try and get in it. By the way, a play-in tournament is not even a lock or a guarantee. So I know I was talking about how excited I was for a play-in tournament. It's going to be 8 games. They're regular season games. It's going to get the NBA past that threshold of 70 games that they're referring to. Just as important, it's going to be the proper amount of ramp-up to get the NBA with the ability to have players that had a proper training camp, are back in shape, are ready for the playoffs, and then boom, we start the postseason. Can I ask this question? Who doesn't like the format? And I say that because how can you not like where the NBA is right now? I'm appreciative that the NBA is coming back. I read some articles, and it's just kind of comical to me. There's people some pessimistic about the season coming back, complaining about the structure, or complaining about which teams were invited. I'm not saying it's perfect. I'm not sitting here and telling you. I could sit here and make an argument. Okay, Washington Wizards, they're 16 games below 500. Does it make sense for them to be there? Probably not. I get Mace's point too. Mace is saying, you have 6 extra teams. You're just raising that risk factor when it comes to somebody testing positive for COVID-19. I know it's not perfect, but we have freaking basketball back. Basketball is going to come back. Is it the most important thing, what's going on right now? 100% it's not. Will it ever be more important than these protests going on or police brutality or the over 100,000 people that have lost their lives because of COVID-19? Of course it's not. But we have been hoping and praying that at some point the National Basketball Association would return, and that's exactly what we have. I'm not worried about next season. I'm not worried about getting that all figured out. I have no idea, by the way, what it's going to look like a month from now, 3 months from now, 6 months, or a year from now. Nobody has any idea what the future is going to look like, and the NBA can only plan so much ahead. Because really, the entire country and the entire world could only plan so far ahead. I'm still doing shows from home, from my Chinatown studio, as Mason Island like to say, right? I'm still doing this is just the climate that we're living in, the life that we're living in. You have had these protests going on over the last week or so, maybe a little bit longer than that. you've had an incredible amount of movement towards injustice that's going on in our country, police brutality that's going on in our country. Everything is just think about all the different issues that are going on in the world today. It's a tough time right now. It really is. I mean, I know for me, you definitely have a heavy heart. You spend some time watching the news. You don't walk away feeling like, oh, okay, I feel good right now. Or you're on Twitter or Instagram or something along those lines. It's a tough time. To have a wrinkle of positivity, to have something where the NBA a month ago, 2 weeks ago, we weren't sure if we were going to have a season. And by the way, that's not to say that, you know, this is all guaranteed and it's a lock, because COVID-19 could still be an issue a few months from now. And it could, you know, potentially stop us from continuing a season or even getting to that point. Yeah, there is that could happen. But at least we're at the point where one sport found a way to make it happen. And another sport, like Major League Baseball, continues to make excuses and, in my opinion, not give a you-know-what about the fans. And we'll see what eventually happens there. All right, ESPN NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski was on The Jump a little bit earlier today. This is Woj on what the next steps now are for a season to come back.
There's the formality of the players' associations, team reps voting on Friday. They set up a call tomorrow, and the team reps are expected to approve this proposal. As you know, the Players Association and Adam Silver and the league, they've been working hand in hand for months on the details of this plan, but they'll formally vote tomorrow. And then there's still the process of the kind of testing that they're going to put in place, solidifying that with Florida health officials and Walt Disney World. And, you know, I think many of those are all steps that the league's going to get to with the Players Association and get to ultimately tipping off July 31 in Orlando. I'm told July 9th, 11th, right in that window, is where teams will start arriving in Orlando.
So we're talking about, you know, a little bit over a month away from having these teams eventually get to Orlando. They'll do their training camp. And then towards the end of July is when basketball will come back. And think about how condensed the season is going to be. One of the beauties with having this all-in-one site, this, you know, so-called bubble in Orlando, is it's going to be a ton of games. You know, so you're going to have a bunch of games that are going on, and they have obviously a smaller window, even though I think the last game, if they go game 7 in the NBA Finals, is going to be October 12th, so it just kind of gives you an idea. But leading up to this, playoffs will be the remainder of the regular season. Here's Woj talking about how that's going to work as we get the final 8-game regular season on the board.
Essentially, they're going to take the games that teams had remaining they're going to play 8 games, and the next 8 games that teams had when the season was shut down, however many of those they're able to play in Orlando among the 22 teams there. And then if there are, obviously many teams will have had games scheduled with some of the 8 that aren't there, and they're going to have to put the shell of a schedule together that reflects what they had left. And as you said, the strength of schedule. Memphis had a much tougher road to finish their season than New Orleans does, than Portland did, and that is expected to be reflected in the schedule of those regular season games. And then ultimately there'll be a play-in for the eighth seed, with a 9 seed, if that 9 seed is within 4 games in the standings of the 8 seed at the end of the regular season.
Okay, not going to lie, it's still a little confusing to me. And hopefully Jeff Zilgit, NBA reporter for USA Today Sports, who's coming up at 7, hopefully he'll be able to kind of offer a little bit more insight. What I'm referring to is some of the structure I get, some of it I don't. But I will tell you this. So the Lakers, that 8 games, that regular season 8 games they would have to complete. And they also have an incredible cushion. So I'm sure it's the luxury that the Lakers have. They're not going to have to fight for NBA seeding, right? That's not what it's going to come down to for the Lakers. They're not going to have to fight and worry about, of course, from a home court advantage, that doesn't matter. Lakers are set. They're the number one team in the Western Conference. They have a 5.5 game lead. They're not going to lose 6 of their 8 games. So we know that the Lakers are going to end up with the number one seed. And the reason why I say that's important, that gives the Lakers, just to kind of compare it, let me compare it with the other teams. Clippers, they got a 1.5 game lead over Denver. Utah, 1.5 games behind Denver. Oklahoma City, 1 game behind Utah. Houston and Oklahoma City tied, same record. Dallas within 1.5 games of that, you know, 5th and 4th seed. There's going to be a lot of teams playing and exerting their energy because they're curious. You know, most teams are going to want to avoid the Lakers, and they're probably going to want to avoid the Clippers as well, at least in that first round, right? I know that maybe makes more sense just for Oklahoma City, Houston, and Dallas. There's going to be jockeying for position. Home court doesn't mean anything. But at least it's going to mean something in the sense that certain teams are going to want to avoid other teams. So the Houston Rockets, this is the Lakers' schedule for those final 8 games. Houston, Denver, Utah again. They'll skip Charlotte and Detroit because they're not invited as part of the 22 teams. They'll play Toronto. They'll skip Cleveland because they're not invited. They'll play Washington. They'll skip Minnesota, and then they'll play Indiana and Sacramento. So that would technically be the 8 games for the Lakers. Tough schedule. Funches and I were talking during one of the breaks, and listen, just kind of getting started. Houston, Denver, Utah. Obviously, those are good Western Conference teams, but it's going to be a great barometer for the Lakers. It's going to give them kind of that opportunity to get back in the groove. I'm excited. There's no other way to put it. I don't think there's a Los Angeles Laker fan out here in Los Angeles, even if you're a Clipper fan. I'm sure there are many Clipper fans that are excited as well. If this kind of goes as planned, the NBA can only plan so far ahead. If this structurally ends up working out the way they're imagining it to work out, we're going to get a lot of NBA over the course of, you know, a couple months. And that's going to be great. And I'm sure that's going to be great for a lot of fans. More importantly, it's going to be great for LA with what the Lakers have. And if you want to throw Clippers into that mix, you can feel free to do so. But obviously, the Los Angeles Lakers, which drives this town, that part's going to be exciting. All right, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays, presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who's working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation. Post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and we'll award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. So we appreciate the partners and certainly want to highlight some of these frontline workers, just the amazing job that they're doing. Jeff Zilgit, NBA reporter for USA Today. We're going to get a chance to talk about this new format, this new structure, some kind of additional questions that are still kind of up there right now when it comes to the NBA and how they're going to do this. We'll do all that coming up next. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, I want to welcome in Jeff Zilgit, NBA reporter for USA Today Sports. Jeff, thank you for doing this. Appreciate you taking the time. And it's good to hear that we are moving forward to what looks like an NBA season that will get a chance to crown a champ.
Yeah, absolutely, Alan. Look, the NBA, when this happened on March 11th, they suspended their season. I wrote at the time they had a little bit of time on their hands, not a ton, but they certainly were in a position to be able to monitor it. You know, it wasn't like NCAA basketball, men's and women's, all the conference tournaments where if you canceled or postponed, they were never coming back. And so the NBA had the benefit of time to see how this plays out. Now, they still have a couple steps left. I think some of them are, you know, not necessarily rubber stamping, but I think they're going to go through, you know, dealing with the Players Association to get them to ratify this. But I do think we're going to start playing basketball again this summer, as you said, to have a championship. And at the same token, you know, I do believe that there are some things that if it doesn't go the right way for the league, and I don't know those hypotheticals quite yet, but let's just start off with the idea that if, you know, there's a dramatic spike in COVID-19 cases, either in the Orlando area or within the bubble site, and multiple teams are affected, you know, I could also envision a scenario where the NBA says it's just not worth it to do this. And so those are some of the things we're going to have to watch once they all the teams get to Orlando.
Jeff Zilgit, USA Today, joining the Sliwa Show. Jeff, in your article, you talked about that the owners approved proposal to resume season, but still some steps remain before plan is finalized. A couple things that you had on here. League needs to finalize venue details with Disney, get sign-off from Florida public health officials, and then finalize the comprehensive health and safety protocol program. Are these just things they felt like, okay, we got all the foundation done, now everything else moving forward, it's already in progress, I guess you can say, of dealing with some of those to make sure everything does get finalized.
Well, yeah, let's take a couple of them real quick, Alan. You know, look, the players, one, let's just look from a competition aspect. Teams like the Milwaukee Bucks, Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers, Toronto Raptors, Boston Celtics, Houston Rockets, those are teams that felt, and there's a couple more on my list, but those are teams that felt they had a chance to make a deep run into the playoffs. Denver, Utah, let's throw them on the list as well. All right. And Philadelphia, if I didn't get them. And so those teams want to play for competitive reasons. There's also financial reasons that make both sense to the league and players. So I don't expect the players to put up too much of a fight. They may quibble with certain aspects of this, especially like future dates, such as the start of next season, that kind of thing. I don't expect the big problem from Florida health officials as well. The Disney thing is going to be real simple, Alan. NBA's got a relationship with ABC, sure, owned by Disney, and ESPN. And so that's going to be an easy one right there. The comprehensive health and safety protocol plan, that's what I'm really interested to see. I don't want anyone to aggregate this and say it's, complete fact, but I had heard, you know, some rumblings that, you know, there will be testing every day for players. But then someone else said, well, maybe just a few times a week. So, you know, I'm just interested into seeing what that plan actually is, Alan, and to see how safe the NBA feels it can keep its players. And I know this, you know, Adam Silver said it in April at his Board of Governors meeting, and he was quoting a Disney executive, Bob Iger, when he said, it's about the data, not the date. We have a date now to resume play, to complete the playoffs, and we necessarily don't know all the data. You and I can go look up some numbers, find out what's going on in Florida, Orlando, the counties that are there, but we want to hear from the NBA and see what their data is telling them that leads us to believe this is safe to play basketball there and that they're doing the most to minimize any kind of health issue.
Jeff Zilgit, NBA reporter for USA Today, joining the Sliwa Show. You know, Jeff, it's interesting because I've said this a couple times, and this was leading up to, okay, well, let's see what the NBA, if they can finally come to a solution, have a program in play, if there's enough data in there. I mentioned that at the end of the day, whatever they come up with, you're still kind of working on the fly. And what I mean by that is, there is no blueprint. What it looks like today will look different in 30 days. What it looked like 30 days ago looks different than today. And I'm just talking about more COVID-19 and just the virus. They're still trying to learn. There's just not enough information about understanding the virus yet. And, you know, we know the entire world is trying to get as much information as they possibly can on it. But you bring up a good point. The intention is great from the NBA. You wish Major League Baseball had a similar intention, and we'll see if they could get to this point. But the intention is great. The leadership is great. But that doesn't fully mean, like you're talking about, that okay, we know exactly what's going to happen over the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah, look, there's no foolproof plan. You're hitting on lots of good points, and I don't pretend to be a medical scientist or, you know, epidemiologist, any of the things. But, you know, look, if those of us who have been paying attention to it certainly understand enough to listen to health officials. And, Alan, you make there's so much they don't about the virus just yet and how it acts and behaves. And, you know, and then, you know, we hear about, you know, maybe a second wave or another spike. I mean, those are all things that'll come into play, and you're making a great point. We just don't know in 30 days or 60 days. And look, let's be realistic here. If we're looking at the potential of a game 7 October 12th, which means we'll be playing games, playoff games, the finals, into early October, it looks, is we don't know what things are going to look like at the end of September. I mean, that's a few months away. Alan, and so, you know, there's a lot to be determined between now and then. I'm hoping it goes great for the NBA. Look, I make my livelihood off covering the NBA. I want it to do well. I don't want any, you know, any serious situation to arise because of COVID-19, but I think we just also have to be realistic here that there is the potential for that to happen. And, you know, again, a little bit of what, you know, you're alluding to is that, you know, at a certain point, we all have to assume some risk. And the NBA is, you know, sort of, you know, look, it's a little bit easier to gamble in family-friendly Orlando than it is to gamble in Sin City, Las Vegas. Let's get that out there. But there is the whole idea that, you know, they have to roll the dice a little bit with some unknowns here. And, you know, I think, you know, me, you, everyone else out there also has to do the same with their daily lives. And, you know, the NBA is sort of gambling that this is the time to do that.
Jeff, as we look at the actual structure of the plan, how the NBA is going to do this, can you explain? So we know 22 teams are getting in, and we know the 22 teams. The one extra team in the Eastern Conference are the Wizards. The five extra teams in the Western Conference, it's the Pelicans, it's the Suns, it's the Kings, the Spurs, and Portland Trailblazers. So those are the five teams. Can you explain how we get to a play-in? Because what I originally thought what the idea would be is completely different based on these eight regular season games they're picking up from the schedule. How will that play-in structure work?
Yeah, it's. I don't want to say confusing. I would just say it's probably a little complicated to explain, and I'll see if I can do my best, is that there may not be a play-in game. If the ninth seed is not within four games of the eighth seed, then there's no play-in game. Now, in the West, there's three teams right now that are within 3.5 games, so you're expecting at least one of them to get there and be the ninth seed. So let's just take that scenario. And I don't know what will happen in the East, but let's just take the West. You know, right now, eighth seed is Memphis. And let's just, for the sake of this exercise, say that Portland ends up the ninth seed is within four games. Then those two teams would play a play-in, eighth-seeded Memphis against ninth-seeded Portland. For Portland, it's single elimination. They lose, they're out. For Memphis being the eighth seed, it's double elimination, meaning Portland needs to beat them twice to get into the playoffs. And so there's the hopefully I explained that well enough and easy enough to indicate how that play-in game could potentially work if there is one. We could see one play-in game and a play-in event in one conference and not in the other. We might not see any play-in game, or we could see a play-in game in both conferences. And so it's sort of wide open in that regard. But look, let's circle back real quick, Alan. Back in September, November, maybe, the NBA started, you know, unveiling, or at least some plans were leaked about the idea of going to a play-in game for the 2021-22 season, which would have been for the playoffs, which will be the league's 75th anniversary year. So the league sort of had this idea on their radar to add some excitement. And look, this isn't going to work now, but Alan, real quick, it also would be an incentive for some teams maybe who were, you know, in 10th, 11th place, thinking they had a chance to get into the postseason in a normal year, not tanking and trying to get into the playoffs instead of trying to tank for a draft pick. So there's a couple different you know, mechanisms at use there, but that was on the NBA's radar.
Jeff Silgett, NBA reporter for USA Today Sports, joining the Sliwa Show. You know, Jeff, it's interesting because everybody, I think, over this last maybe week or so, when some of the different there were some different ideas being thrown at, should they go straight to the playoffs? Should it be, should every team be involved? Should 20 teams, 22? So we saw kind of some different formats. What do you think? Just the way the NBA has structured coming back, the amount of teams that they're inviting, their justification for inviting those teams. What do you think of the overall concept, the idea, and do you like what the NBA and obviously Adam Silver and the owners are trying to do here?
Ultimately, I would just say that I'm fine with it. I know that doesn't sound like a ringing endorsement, Alan. If it's me, you know, sitting here, I go to a 16-team playoff, maybe some kind of, tune-up games or, you know, glorified exhibition games or scrimmages, maybe what we used to call, you know, were preseason games to get teams warmed up, or maybe have some brief, shortened, you know, season with those 16 teams still remaining. But, Alan, I'm also, you know, I don't know, Adam Silver gets paid a lot of money to be commissioner of the NBA. I don't know if I'd want to be in that position because he also has to answer, you know, let's remember, the commissioner answers to 30 owners.
Sure.
And so you have teams that were on the outside, and let's not focus so much on the East, but with, you know, look, there were anywhere between, what, 16 and 18 games left for teams, or 15 and 18. I don't think any team had more than 19 games left. And if you're New Orleans, Portland, Sacramento, those teams that are sort of 3.5 games out, and they were all going to play each other, you felt maybe you had a chance to get into the playoffs. And so he has to answer to those owners who think that, you know, they would have had a chance. And, you know, and just going to 16 doesn't give them that chance. And so what I think they found was a imperfect plan that probably suits the best needs for everyone involved, if that makes any sense.
No, it definitely does make sense. And listen, at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to accommodate everybody. You're not going to make everybody happy. And I think Adam Silver and the league doing everything they can to just not just get back, but try and get back in the fairest way possible. And every curveball you could think of is being thrown, obviously, not just in the world of sports, but just in life in general. So I'm a huge proponent, and I'm a huge ambassador to how the NBA is continuing to try and find solutions. And, you know, you have to also just appreciate that they've got this far, and we'll see what the how everything just kind of pans out. Final question, Jeff, I want to ask you. So the plan for next season, Adrian Wojnarowski has sent out a tweet not too long ago, and he mentioned that the start of training camp would be on November 10th. An opening night on December 1st. Still sources say this isn't, you know, I don't think it's official or anything just yet. But hypothetically, what do you think of that starting date on December 1st? Like you mentioned, the NBA was already exploring different ideas. We've heard Mark Cuban has been, you know, he's been very vocal on wanting to start the NBA season on Christmas. That's just where he thought it's a great idea. Do you think starting the season on December 1st, do you think this increases the likelihood that maybe next season they push out? Maybe this just becomes the norm for the NBA that they go instead of starting in, you know, mid-October or so or late October, they're going to try and get it in that December timeframe.
Yeah, look, I wouldn't be surprised if they headed that way. And now next year is probably not the ideal year. They may have to tinker with that December date, December 1 date, just a little bit. Think about that. A team finishes the season in October, has to report to training camp 1 month later. That's not normal. The teams that get to the finals are not going to want to start the season that way. Even the teams that made it to the conference finals, let's say some of those series go seven games. I mean, you're still playing into September at that point. And so I'm not sure that the Players Association, and when I talk about, you know, crossing some I's, dotting some T's with the Players Association earlier, this is some of the things I'm talking about. This all has to be negotiated and ratified by the Players Union. And so, you know, maybe next year it starts a little closer to mid-December. But to your overall point about moving beyond the heart of the NFL and college football season to start the NBA season, whether it's on Christmas Day, December 2nd, December 3rd, that's something the NBA is seriously going to look at. It involves maneuvering their calendar a little bit more than they have in the past and playing games past June 30th, which the NBA has tried to avoid. You know, their calendar year, Alan, I know this is nitty-gritty, starts July 1. And so that's all we, and it's given the league office time to calculate how much money they took in, and that sets the salary cap for the next season. They might just have to move that back to, say, July 15th or August 1st, you know, moving forward. And, you know, we would be playing games, you know, in July instead of June, moving ahead. But yes, to get out of the shadow of NFL and college football through October and November, I think that is something that is on the NBA's radar, and it won't surprise me if it happens.
Jeff, thank you very much, buddy. Greatly appreciate it. Great insight as always. Jeff Zilgit, NBA reporter for USA Today Sports. Jeff, thank you for the time, bud.
Hey, thanks a lot, Alan. You have a good one. Be safe and well.
All right, great stuff there from Jeff. One of the things that we'll get the opportunity to do now, we get the opportunity to hear from Adam Silver. So he was on as part of TNT. He was on earlier today, actually probably within the last hour or so. And we'll get that opportunity to talk specifically about his precautions that they're going to take in Orlando to bring basketball back. I do want to spend a little bit of time on some of this, on some of the social issues. Shaq had a chance to talk about Breeze's comments, and there's a lot of things that we could take from there as well. So we'll do all that coming up next. We'll hear from Adam Silver coming back. Let me throw this question out there. Laker fans, how are you feeling about getting the season back? How are you feeling about getting Los Angeles Lakers basketball back? What do you think the chances are going to be for the Lakers to pick up from where they left off? Obviously, they were one of the more successful teams in the league. 877-710-ESPN. Call into the show. Give me your thoughts. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. All right, 710-ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who's working as a healthcare provider, firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shuteria.com. A big thank you to all our partners, and of course, a big thank you to all the frontline workers. We want to do everything we can to highlight our frontline workers. I want to talk to Laker fans. I want to get your thoughts on where we're sitting right here with the NBA. I want to get your thoughts on how you feel about the Lakers once the season does come back. What are your concerns? What do you think are going to be some of the strengths for the Lakers? 877-710-ESPN. I know I got a couple calls on hold, but before I take any calls, let me just give my quick thoughts on this. The Lakers are in a prime position. They are. You know, one of the things – I started the show and I was talking about LeBron. And one of the things I kept mentioning was how much I appreciate and I respect what LeBron is doing from an awareness perspective, being a leader, not just on the court. Forget on the court for a second. How about what he's doing? I went out reading all these tweets that he's had over the last couple of days, calling out people that he feels should be called out, looking for some type of equality. Obviously, he feels very, very passionate about what's happening in the world right now. I put that to the side for a second because – I'm going to, as we talk about the NBA, we talk about basketball coming back, that's the LeBron James that we also know on the court. Okay, well, that player on the court is the difference of the Lakers winning an NBA championship or not. Let me make sure I'm clear. Of course, the role player's got to step up. Of course, Anthony Davis has to be the best Anthony Davis we've ever seen in our lives, even at age 26. You know, he's obviously got a lot of room to grow, and that inexperience in the postseason, he's going to try and learn with LeBron. Had never been past the second round. But there are six guys that have won championships or been to the finals on this Lakers roster, so there's a lot of experience there. I'm confident that the team that the Lakers have, you know, God bless Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll see what happens. Home court, obviously, all of a sudden now doesn't happen for the Bucks. It also doesn't happen for the Lakers. Giannis doesn't have the experience LeBron James has. I'll take my chances with a LeBron-led Lakers team all day long. And then the Clippers, who have some gritty, competitive, obviously players that have been there, have done that. And what I mean by that, I'm talking about Kawhi Leonard. The one thing that the Clippers don't have, They don't have a two-headed monster like the Los Angeles Lakers. They don't have Anthony Davis. So I feel good about where the Lakers are. I feel good about when the season does start again, what the Lakers can obviously accomplish with this team. And it's exciting to talk Lakers basketball again. Larry in Temecula, appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on the Sliwa Show.
Yeah, a couple of comments on the Lakers. You just sort of hit on something that I was going to mention. Yeah, the Lakers, you know, with this veteran team that they've got and all the experience they've got, this is a huge advantage for them. And I think, you know, these are professionals, guys like Avery Bradley and Rondo. I know Rondo gets knocked a lot, but that guy's going to come back in perfect condition. I mean, the Lakers are just going to come back strong because of their veteran leadership, and it's not just LeBron. It's all throughout that entire roster. So I think I agree with you.
So Larry, just to hit on it, JaVale McGee's got a championship under his belt. Quinn Cook does. Dwight Howard has been to the finals. Remember when he faced the Lakers back in 2009. Rondo, we know his resume and what he's done in the postseason. Even guys like Jared Dudley will be helpful. I do think from an experience, it's one thing to have experience and not have talent. Lakers have two of the top five players in the NBA and the experience. Keep going with your point.
So there's all of that. I think they're heads above any other team in the league when it comes to veteran professionalism. And then the other thing that you were talking about in your previous segment is the scheduling. So, you know, the two teams that are going to go to the finals, if they end up in a seven-game series, they're almost being penalized if the season starts on December 1st. I mean, their turnaround time from the last game of the year, October 12th, to I think you said that training camp would start the first week of November. I mean, that's not a good plan. There's injury issues that could arise from them not having enough time off. I just think that is a terrible idea.
So I don't know,
to the Mark Cuban idea at the earliest, December 25th.
By the way, and Larry, I appreciate you calling in. I don't know. The December 1st actually threw me for a curveball because I did think December 25th was going to be the date that everybody was, you know, obviously planning on. Okay, that's when the NBA is going to start, December 25th. So I was a little surprised by that. But I want to go back to what I said earlier, and I'll tell you exactly what I mean by this. I don't know what we want from the NBA. Like, there's nothing they could have done where we couldn't have found something to – complain is not the right word, because I think, Larry, it's not a bad point. You actually bring up a great point. The season's going to start December 1st. So if you finish October 12th and training camp starts November 1st, season starting December 1st and November 1st. Yeah, I think those dates are right. I'll double check just to make sure. But I know the regular season would start December 1st. If those dates are accurate, that means you're going about a month and a half, a little bit over a month and a half before, you know, those two teams now have to get back going again and try and cram in as many games as possible. I don't have a solution for it. Maybe they kick the can down the road all the way to December 25th just to give them more time. I got nothing against that. I think that's actually – that's probably a better idea than what's structured right now. But what I will tell you is this. I love that we could complain about things when it comes to the NBA about how they structured everything. Rather than for Major League Baseball, the conversation – has nothing to do with structure. Yes, you hear some games being thrown out. Okay, the owners want 82 games. The players come back with 114. And then the owners come back with 50 games. Do you know what the equivalent of 50 games is in the NBA? The equivalent of 50 games in Major League Baseball is the equivalent of 26 games in the NBA. It's the equivalent of 5 to 6 games in the NFL in a 16-game schedule. So I would much rather complain that the way the NBA did it structurally is, this is the reason why we're complaining about how the structure is, rather than in Major League Baseball, we got nothing to complain about because we have no idea if they're going to have a season or not. But I do appreciate the insight on that. All right, 877-710-ESPN. Like I mentioned, and I know we got. Some phone calls waiting. Stay on the line. I'll get your thoughts on the Los Angeles Lakers. Get your thoughts on the NBA coming back. You want to switch gears a little bit and you want to talk, because I am going to spend a little time talking about there's some things I'm watching on Twitter. to be real with you, this is part of the reason why I took Twitter off my phone. And don't get me wrong, I take it off for like 8 hours and then I come back and I re-download it. But this is why, you know, it's really difficult sometimes to watch Twitter. I'll tell you what I'm talking about in just a second. 877-710-ESPN if you want to be a part of the show. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.